Welcome to Nerdy For, the podcast where I, Amy Brown, ask interesting people what they're nerdy for, and I have the most interesting person in my life here tonight. I have Linda Lee Fitzgerald Gibbs, my mother. Say hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
No, you're doing it wrong. You're doing a great job. I'm kidding. Talk into the microphone, though. Like, yeah, you have to lean forward. Is your back okay?
Yeah.
All right. I have my mom here. Yay. I love my mom. I talk about my mom a lot in my set because she's OG. She's an original gangster feminist from the 70s. She went to law school when they weren't letting a lot of women in. I have a new joke about that. I'm like, they wouldn't let more than 10 women at a time. I'm like, why would they do that? Were they worried the women would get the law books all periody or something? And that does get a laugh. And then I'm like, well, I did see a picture of old school maxi pads when I was in health class. And those maxi pads look about as big as an encyclopedia, hopefully with less paper cuts. I mean, like, old, not to go right into maxi pads right off the top of the bat here, but old school maxi pads also had like some sort of 4-point harness system. Did you remember having, like, do you see those pictures, Mom? You can talk now.
Pictures.
I didn't see an actual one that had the harness, but they like showed a picture in our health book.
I like that you don't let her say anything. You just first ask her about her old maxi pads.
Let's go. Welcome to the podcast.
Okay. I don't remember seeing a lot of pictures of maxi pads.
Okay.
Although I did see maxi pads.
Right. And did they have like a belt with clips?
That was before my time.
Before
Thank
your time.
Goodness.
Yeah, because I feel like the only thing wearing seatbelts in the 50s were maxi pads. None of the children were, that's for sure.
But everybody could figure out how to use suspenders.
Oh, so they had to have suspender-based feminine products?
Same idea.
The patriarchy, when will it stop? All right, Mom, you can talk now. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I think I'm probably the only person you've had that is retired from something.
Oh.
And a lot of your podcast people are on the way up in their careers. And I've finished my career, and I want to say how lucky I was to have the career I had, which was an administrative judge in a family court. Mm. Because for a living, I got to ask people questions, and they felt obliged to answer them.
Okay.
Because they wanted to win. And I could ask them any questions I want.
And they had to answer them.
And they would try to answer them. Things like, you mean to say you think your husband's brother is the father of this child? No, you can't have a genetic test.
Oh.
Or, you're not working because you're injured? And what's the nature of your disability? Oh, you ruptured a penis? Well, then could you please tell me how that happened?
Joel,
yeah, how many penis rupturings did you have?
Only one, but it was a full trial.
Ooh.
We had to assign an attorney. We had to go through a full trial. The court reporter leaving the room because she couldn't
she was giggling.
Keep track. It was a very interesting trial because the presenting attorney.
Are you allowed to talk
attorney,
about this? Wait,
yeah,
are you allowed to talk?
I don't use any names.
Okay. There you go.
The presenting attorney representing the petitioner in this matter managed to use the term ruptured penis in every sentence. He said, now, before you ruptured your penis, what was your address?
What was your address? So,
before you ruptured your penis, what was your career?
Are you the presiding judge over this?
Yes.
So it's not a jury?
No.
So every time he's saying ruptured penis, is he thinking if it was a man, he would be like, oh my God, this poor man. When I hear ruptured penis, I think of one of those poppers from Christmas time and you pull it apart. Whee, confetti comes out.
I don't think any confetti came out.
Did his ruptured penis grant him the win?
Not really.
Can I do a genetic test on the baby?
No, that's the other case.
Okay.
Yeah. There wasn't a baby created. There was a ruptured penis.
Did you work at Maury Povich?
Yeah, this is like he just was out of work because his penis exploded?
Oh.
It exploded, yeah. And
owie.
And he didn't wasn't able to go to work for several days and was got his, fired from his job. Was for his to job
in was his job in pornography?
No, it was not in pornography.
Was his
I'd
job,
go ahead and say if my penis exploded, it would definitely make me not be able to go to work.
Yes, yes.
Was his job as an underwear model?
No, no.
Was his job as a door-to-door salesman?
No, I believe.
Then I think you're okay, right? You can go to a job without your penis.
I don't think he really physically could move around very much several days.
They probably could, they put a splint on it.
Yeah.
Now, what is a penis rupture? I know you were you're not a doctor. You were just the judges. But what does a penis rupture entail?
Was this before Google? Could
the
you even Google it?
The blood vessels rupture. And it expands, and it's horrendously painful, accordingly, I believe.
Elephantitis of the weenie.
Yeah. And this happened in his fiancée's parents' home while they were out shopping. Mm. And unfortunately, they arrived home as the ambulance was taking him out of the front door to the hospital.
Now, that's a rupture, because an ambulance pickup is expensive if you don't have insurance.
True. And he introduced this woman that came to court with him as his fiancée, although he was nowhere near divorced.
Oh,
and
putting the cart before the horse.
And we never heard or saw her again. So I think maybe either he was afraid of a future rupture or she just dumped him.
If she came to court the first time, it might have been a coming to Jesus where she's like, why am I hitching my wagon to this guy?
Oh, yeah, but there was no warning labels on a lot of people I saw in court, and there should have been.
Like for people who are falling in love with them? And
like already has 4 child support orders, you know, stay away.
Is that an app? Is there a way to, like when you're at the bar or however people hook up these days, it's probably all apps already to find the guy.
Yeah.
And then maybe there's like a link on Grindr. I don't know these apps. I think
Grindr's
that's the gay one.
Specific, mainly for gay men.
For gay men. Okay, honeypot.com. What are they called? Biscuits and Gravy, I Got You. What are the apps called?
I mean, there's a bunch. Tinder, Hinge, Bumble. Okay.
And then in your profile should be a link to court orders, unpaid parking tickets.
Paying 60% of his net income in child support already. That kind of thing, yeah. That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be really
That would
great.
A time
Very
saver.
Useful. It could save a lot of effort.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. I got to say, penis ruptures are really a topper for a great podcast story start.
Yeah. Well, that's why the job was fantastic, because I worked in a soap opera, basically, for 20 years. And every day was different. And when he came out with that term, I had 2 security guards in the back of the room, both of whom winced, crossed their legs, and left the room.
They're going to pass out.
And my clerk, who was sitting next to me, took my file away from me, put it up over her face, and sunk under the table. And we had to take a break.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess a penis rupture is a real thing. Did you Google it?
I was Googling it. You're right. Yeah. I was mainly talking about.
I can feel your energy when you get excited.
Penile fractures.
Well, there's no bones in there, but it's a blood vessel issue.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything about the blood vessels, but it was talking about most all of it is just due to overstrenuous use during intercourse.
Right. Exactly. So what happened. Yeah.
So he was banging too hard.
Well, no, it was giving directions accurately. She was on top. He said, go left. She went to her left.
Stage left. That's why we only use stage terms in our bedroom.
Yeah. So that was the issue.
Interesting.
It could happen to anybody. I
like how vividly you remember these details, but I also feel like if I had a penis eruption court case, I would remember everything. You'd be like, actually, we don't need the stenographer. I can read it back to you exactly what was just said.
Yeah.
As this is now seared into my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does stick in there. Also, like a cautionary tale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, I highly recommend if you want to get through law school to try to get a job in family court.
I have a friend in family court. She says it's devastating. And
it can be very depressing, but.
2 friends in family court.
Yeah. You are useful in a lot of ways, and it is very interesting.
Right. Like Maury Povich's show every day.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right? I don't think I can say his name.
I think so.
Okay. Porterish?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have to, like, the paternity test says, did you have, like, an envelope and open it up in court from the doctor and say, like, did the lawyers get it and they tell everybody and they decide not to go to court about it?
We didn't have a lot of lawyers in court because they were...
Oh, they didn't afford them.
They couldn't afford them.
Was it court appointed then?
Sometimes it would be court appointed if they were looking at going to jail for some reason, but not in paternity cases, unless they wanted one for some reason. But yes, you had to say, you know, it was 99.9 or it was zero. I mean, it was all or nothing in paternity cases.
Did genetic testing become available during your tenure? Like, was it before you have no idea who the father is?
When I started, it was a blood test. And fairly soon after that, it was just the swab test.
So the whole time you've been able to test a child for paternity.
Yeah, test people.
Fascinating.
People would send other people to the test.
Oh.
So then they started taking pictures of the people that they were testing.
Oh, my gosh.
And even when people knew that they were taking pictures, they would still try to send somebody else to the test.
Oh, wow.
And then it would be not paternity, and the woman would say, this can't be real, and then we'd show her the picture, and she goes, that's his brother. I guess the guy was thinking it was close enough or something. I don't know.
That's wild.
Yeah, so it was...
Yeah.
We weren't...
Did you ever... Go ahead, sorry.
We weren't dealing with the top of the genetic tree here.
I don't know how science works. I can see myself making the same mistakes.
Yeah.
I thought our pans from being in the basement made the handles hot. But we had... Thank you. That's the right face, Mom. Mm-hmm. We had changed from an electric stove to a gas one. And that's the change that made it. Not the pans were in the basement. Something must have changed about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that smart.
In the middle of the night? I don't know.
It was for 6 months. We were redoing the kitchen.
Yeah. So, nerdy.
Wait. Have you ever had a woman come, like a guy suing a woman for?
Oh, that's the sad part. You'd see a guy come in
suing a mom
for child support.
Is she like, it's not my baby?
She has to
get the test, or they're like, oh, we have your records from the hospital.
She had him for a boyfriend. They had a child together. Paternity was established. Usually he would have just signed the papers and not come to court. And then she got bored with him and went and found a new boyfriend and left him with the child. And he comes to court looking like he hasn't slept in a month.
Yeah, new babies.
Because he's trying to take care of the child and work, and his mother's helping him. And she's like, pregnant again.
Oops-a-daisy.
With a new guy. And you're telling her she has to pay child support. And she's like, well, how can I do that? And you ask her a trick question.
Oh, what's the trick question? How much is a lap dance?
What were your plans for supporting your first child before you decided to get pregnant? And you get a really good blank look. Decided to get pregnant?
Aw. Do they have access to health, birth control and everything?
Yep.
Because now they have like the thing that goes in your arm, or you stick a thing in your hoo-ha and it's there for a year and you're good. Like, and people, like, hopefully, healthcare is expensive, but shout out Planned Parenthood for having affordable healthcare for women.
And then you have to explain that if she doesn't pay her child support, she might end up having the current child that she hasn't had yet in jail.
So if you have if you have no job, and you have a baby, and you still have no job, what's the amount of child support you have to pay?
$50 a month.
Oh. That's like a cell phone, right? I don't know what anything costs
anymore.
So
usually what happens is the new boyfriend pays it.
Oh, that's nice.
Until she does the same thing again.
Leaves him again.
And we had serial once. I mean, you see the same name, and you see another exhausted guy with his child. Yeah.
When she's bipolar.
So there's the whole thing with the warning labels. Works both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've never had to go to family court. I did go to traffic court 3 years in a row for expired tags.
Oh.
And the judge, it was the same judge. And then she was just like, you have to pay full court fees. And if you come back in for the exact same thing, I'm going to find something else to charge you for because this is...
ridiculous.
And I was just like, yeah, this is on me. I should have this is for sure.
Were you depressed? Because that's like the behavior of a depressed person.
Couldn't you just put a warning in your phone that...
I just forgot about it all the time. And I was also on a lot of... This was like early 20s. So I was just on a lot of drugs and not taking care of many things. And then I really believed her because she was like, you know, first to second year, she was like 2 years in a row. How did you forget about this? And then third year, she was like, I remember you. And I was just like, yeah. She goes, yeah, 3 years. No. And then I believed her. I don't even live in that county anymore because that was in Tennessee.
Yeah.
But now I'm just so scared. I've never dealt, you know, now I do it. I'm now a responsible adult. Especially that you can just go to kiosk and do it now.
I had a guy that I remembered because I think I had him on 4 paternity cases, different women.
God.
And then he comes in and he's like, oh, yeah, I don't know. And it turned out that time he had 2 babies born in the same hospital, to two different women, at the same time.
A hound dog.
At the same time.
So it was easy for him to do visitation to the mothers because they were literally like in the same floor of the same hospital.
He's spreading a seed. And he's so Genghis Conning it.
we're doing the paperwork at the end of the case. He's promising me it's never going to happen again. And I'm like, yeah, right.
He's a sweet talker. That's how we get those ladies in the bed. He's like, there's a woman on the bench
up
there.
So that makes him have 6 children with 6 different women.
So spreading it around.
Yeah. It's like Nick Cannon has a bunch of kids. He's got like 12 kids.
Does he? Yeah, I think I saw a meme about
that
yesterday.
This was not a guy that was making.
Yeah. He's not.
He was an unemployed sheetrock person. I mean,
Of course he's unemployed. He's too busy having sex.
I'm right. He's got the moves. Yeah. He should, door-to-door salesman.
He also should know that he's too virile. He's got his sperm is too good.
Yeah.
If it's hitting that much, you got to calm it down.
Or worry about other kinds of diseases you could get for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I don't think he's doing a lot of long-term planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had to tell people that when we got the genetic test back, sometimes it said HIV positive.
Oh my God!
And we had to tell
that's terrifying, especially before they had medicines.
And
the mom, the baby have it?
No, the mom.
The mom
or
would have
the man,
it?
Whichever.
Yeah.
Oh,
either way,
that's terrifying.
Had to tell them you better.
Did they start crying right there?
They were sort of in shock.
Yeah. Did you have anyone cry in your room?
Oh yeah,
like real tears.
Yeah,
I bet.
Yeah,
it's family court.
It's family court.
But not the part that rips your heart out, like deciding what parent gets a child or things
that's
like that.
That's rough.
That's the rough one.
Did you ever have someone where you decide which parent gets the child and the one that didn't get it was like, woo?
Well, before I was a law guardian and represented
so
children.
Dark.
I represented children before I became an administrative judge. And I'd have to write a report about who I recommended to be
the parent.
The parent. And I'd be like, none of the above? Where's the box? That I could pick none of the above on this form. Could I just go and find anybody else? You know, just the kid would be safer in a different situation.
I have a friend in Atlanta, and she is a foster parent, and she's been able to take care of these children while the parent goes through rehab. And then reunite the child with the parent, and it's all happy. Like, she's done it a couple times, and it's been all lovely and happy to the point, like, she's befriended, like, it was all open, and she's befriended some of them. And
that's because the parent really was serious.
Yeah, they were just struggling with drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, a lot of people.
And a lot of times it's not that. It's that the mother has chosen this boyfriend who is doing bad things with the child.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. And they've picked the boyfriend over their child.
Over their child.
So you're not, that's a mother that's not going to get that child back.
That's good.
And the father is like, doesn't really want the child when you still have to pick somebody.
What do you do then?
In New York State, there's this, or even the federal government's really big in reuniting families.
Yeah.
You try to find a grandparent.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So, well, you better stay alive. I know, my kids are about to go to college. We're about to go to college.
Only one of them has like 2 more years until.
This is what happens. Grammy comes over and I'm like, take care of Grammy. Order her food on DoorDash. She likes sub sandwiches. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think my kids need any more taking care of. Mm-hmm. A little bit. We're at the finish line almost.
We're at the finish
line. There's some hurdles to be to be made, but they're making progress. Well, one of them's all
cooked. I saw you went and visited which one?
Yeah, we took our younger son to visit college last weekend at University of Colorado,
that's
Boulder.
What it was. I thought it was,
it's Boulder. A beautiful school, and it has a rock climbing wall inside the rec center, and it's like three stories tall with like skylights on the top of it, and you
did Kenton go on the wall?
Oh, they were both foaming at the mouth to climb this wall. And it was snowing outside, and it was all like beautiful windows everywhere. It was wild.
So I recommend that. For a career, if you don't Law. Already have something.
So I've heard like this sounds so sexist. There's careers that are better suited for people who are, and I think this has actually been debunked, everything I'm about to say, but there's women are supposed to have more connections from the left to the right side of the brain. So that's why we can like have emotional intelligence and logic at the same time. And I think they like, is the left and the right side of the brain not even a thing anymore? I got to listen to more Freakonomics podcasts. Law was one of the ones they said. And then also being like a leader in charge of people, where you can be compassionate towards your employees, and a law person needs to be able to see both sides of an argument and be very verbal. Yeah. I don't have a point here.
Yeah. Well, there's such a variety of law. You can be totally anal retentive and be a corporate attorney, a tax attorney,
you told me,
a real estate attorney.
You told me patent law.
Patent law.
All the money in patent law. So
if you can be
major in science and then go to law school and then do patent law.
Yeah, if you get like a master's in chemistry or biology or something scientific and a law degree at the same time,
at the same time, that's too many times.
You start right out. Up there, way up there, 200
making lots of
thousands
money.
Of, you know, because patent attorneys make the big bucks.
They
but
make the big bucks.
You have to have that right kind of brain, and I don't, you know, that would have been too boring for me.
Tell the story. You wanted to be a vet.
I wanted to be a veterinarian, but I had a very poor chemistry background, and you had to have organic chemistry to get out of
so you're kind of
college.
I can hear you lawing your way around what happened. You were at college and you flunked organic chemistry, or you got
I started taking it and realized I didn't have my background in chemistry was too weak.
You went to a good high school.
They didn't have chemistry in high school. I had physics.
They didn't have chemistry in high school.
Yeah, they did, but I took physics instead.
Dork.
Yeah. Which I loved. Yeah.
Did you love physics?
Yeah.
Of course. I married my husband. I married my mother.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then how did you decide to change your major? Tell that story.
Well, I could see I wasn't going to get into vet school.
Mm-hmm. Because you want to be a veterinarian.
And I'd had freshman year taken some, what was it, history, social studies, political science courses. I aced them because I can repeat what I hear really well, and teachers love to have their own phrases repeated in the little blue books you fill out for midterms.
Good for you.
So
you're like a parrot.
Yeah.
Didn't someone come visit you and talk to you about a possible change of careers all the way from Europe?
Holland. Yeah, my father. Yeah.
Okay, this is the freaking story. I'm feeding the witness. This is a story. This is what happens when you have people who are in your family on your podcast. They tell you stories over dinner, over and over again, your whole childhood. And the one time you're like, this is a great story. Tell it into a microphone. They forget it.
Well, yeah.
She's not even drinking. She's completely sober. Sober as a judge. Tell the story.
Well, let's see. It was after my first semester sophomore year. I did very well freshman year. Because the high school I went to literally was I repeated the classes in my freshman year. The same books in English class. It was crazy.
Oh, wow.
But my parents were not attuned enough to realize that they were sending me to school in New York State, because we lived in Massachusetts, where the drinking age was 21. And in New York State, the drinking age was 18.
I
was already 18.
she picked her school where she could go get drinky. Yeah.
I didn't know, not on purpose. I was picking a school that was famous for getting kids into vet school and medical school.
You did?
Yeah.
So you were good at picking colleges even then?
I had
to. You helped so many of my friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then I got into the school, so I went. But then that whole thing with the chemistry didn't work out. So my freshman year was highly alcoholic.
Oops-a-daisy.
Yeah. And then my first semester sophomore year, when I really got into the real hard science classes, I realized this isn't going to work. And my father flew from Holland, where he was working, the Netherlands, mm-hmm. to Utica, New York, which is hard to get to.
How many commuter jets is that? How many propeller planes?
You had to go into New York City and then hope that Mohawk Airline was still able to get to.
Stop hitting the table.
I only know about Mohawk because they were in Mad Men.
Yeah. Oh.
They used to call it Slowhawk.
Mm. Ooh, burn.
They followed the throughway up and then turned and came down.
The airplane followed the throughway?
That's what they say.
They didn't get above the clouds.
Yeah. So he comes and he gives me a pep talk, and
he surprised. Did he surprise you or tell you he was coming?
No, totally surprised.
Surprised you from Holland?
Yeah, in the middle of the winter in winterland up there.
Where did you was he waiting for you in the bottom of your dorm? Like, what was the moment where you're like, I think that's my dad?
I think he was waiting for me in the lounge when I came back from class.
Did he have an overcoat and a hat in his hand? In a suitcase?
I don't remember that part.
I'm having a Mad Men.
We went out to dinner. We talked about everything. I told him my plan for changing majors. He thought that was a good idea. Told me not to get discouraged.
Oh,
that's good.
That's a really long way to go for a pep talk.
Yeah. Well, he always was the primary parent.
Yeah.
In my childhood, he taught me how to change fuses, build patios, fix the lawnmower.
Yeah, girl stuff.
I was an only child, so I was everything. Yeah. So he'd go on business
trips.
You
were a wonderful son.
He'd say, take care of your mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your poor mom, she had probably
depression.
Yeah. I can relate.
Yeah.
And I remember she felt better later in life, and she told me that she didn't give you the best years of her life. And then she said, because, quote unquote, Oprah hadn't been invented yet. So she didn't know she wasn't supposed to be on the sofa.
I don't think
all day.
Martha Stewart was around either. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, golly. Okay. So that's a great story. And then you started a sorority at your college. Was that freshman year when you were getting
that was after the meltdown. So that was second semester sophomore.
You just called it a full blown meltdown.
Well, it sort of was.
Were you crying?
I don't remember, but I'm sure I was depressed.
The last time I saw you cry is when I was little and I jumped up and I hit you in the nose trying to give you a kiss.
broke my nose, yeah.
Sorry about that. Sorry, Mommy.
Yeah, well, there were sororities then. It was the late 60s. There was two different kinds of people at school. There was a Peter Pan collar girls, and there was...
Sluts.
Kidding. Like an Animal House, the sororities.
Preppy.
In that, yeah.
Was it preppy or was that prior to preppy? Because preppy is the 80s.
Yeah.
Conservative.
They look like.
I had to look up what that meant.
A Peter Pan collar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A white little thing.
And
with
the plaid, plaid wool skirt with the knee socks and the loafers.
Asking
and
for
then
it.
There was the. Yeah, but then there also was bell bottoms, leather vests.
Hippies,
long hair, yeah. So the only sororities were these Peter Pan collar girls, and we were sort of more the hippie group, and so we started our own group of girls.
Mm-hmm.
Psi Iota.
How do you? Oh, Psi Iota. So okay,
PSI Iota. And we our pin. Of course, everybody had these beautiful gold enameled pins. We used a safety pin as our pin.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it basically so we could be in the contest. They had beer chugging contests, the fraternities did.
The fraternities did.
And
not with the other sororities.
No, until we started competing in them, none of the sororities.
Yeah, they're
competed
not beer chugging.
Them.
They're going to get it on their.
I
cashmere.
Gotta say, this already sounds like a good pitch for a movie where you're like, you make your own like low rent sorority, and you're like, we only did this because we want to go get hammered and go out drink.
Well, we had several young ladies.
Are you saying that sarcastically?
Who could literally just open their mouth and swallow a beer.
Yeah. Like open their throat?
Yeah.
And they could
shoot a beer, which is where you take the beer can and you...
I'll get you a beer can, Mom. Yeah, you want to do it?
Start thing at the bottom and you go like that.
Shotgun.
I was not one of them. I was like the cheering coach for the, for this group of women.
You're good at yelling.
Yeah. And we never really won, but we were second a couple times out of eight.
Fraternities,
yeah.
That's great. Once again, great pitch for a movie.
Yeah, and did you have a girl on there named Dump Truck? With her nickname?
No. And we also learned skills. Like, I think those was left over from my father. I could tap a keg. I could do...
Your father taught you to tap a keg?
Well, just the engineering part I understood. Oh, okay. And this is when you used to have a big rod that you had to stick down through the keg, and if you didn't do it right, the rod could shoot up in the air and kill somebody.
Oh my gosh. High stakes.
Before the Hoff Stevens tap, which was just a turn thing.
I didn't know about the rod. I didn't know about
who is this woman? Like, she always comes up with this weird information always.
And we knew how to, like, kegs were in giant metal things. We used to only bought a half a keg usually. But third floor of a dorm, you had to like roll it up the stairs, and then you could not tap it then because it would blow up. So you have to take it in the shower and put cold water on it for a half an hour.
Okay.
And then you can tap it.
Oh.
Things like that.
You're like
very useful.
Sommelier of kegs.
Yeah. Well, you could get 15 gallons was in a half keg. You could get one for $15.
That's so cheap.
Yeah.
Well, at old-fashioned times, money was more valuable, though. That would probably buy you a house back then in the 70s. I'm just kidding. I don't know how money
is. You don't know what money is anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So I survived college, and I went to law school.
That sorority is still going.
I know. I was shocked at that. I thought it would die when the last, our founders graduated.
Yeah.
And it's
still there. I think
the concept of being... The nerdy outsiders that weren't all worried about getting a date all the time and knew that their goal the day after they graduated was to get married or get pinned or get engaged. I think that was sort of caught on.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of that generation, that transition.
You have a great... Your college years makes for a great story. I'm hearing this whole thing like, this is perfect. It's set in a great time of like old school antics. And then, you're in a smaller town and you definitely like, getting all the women that aren't wanting to just like immediately get like bed down and married. That's perfect. You get a lot of good characters
in
there.
But it was a period of time when like in that upstate New York rural community, you had to practically try to scare the doctors you went to into saying you were going to sue them if they wouldn't give you birth control pills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it was their morals, were going to take over what was going to happen. And you're like, no.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I think if you were starting to sue people when you're in undergrad, I think the writing was on the wall about what you were going to go into. You do get spicy sometimes. We were at a tapas restaurant in Bethesda, Maryland in 2001. And you're like, it was very crowded and you wanted a place to sit. And you said something like there's some law about if you are serving alcohol and there's not a place to sit, we can sue them. Like, what? I think it had been a long day for you and your back was hurting.
Yeah.
Go with what you know.
Yeah.
So I heard, I saw this interview with Meryl Streep and she, I don't know can you see how old Meryl Streep is? Because she talks about being at school at the same probably time period and deciding like if you got asked on a date, girls would cancel plans with their girlfriends. And her and her friends decided that's crazy. My girlfriends are just as important as some date.
She's 74 right now.
How old are you, Mom?
74.
Oh, my gosh. I knew that. I was just testing you.
And when I started school, there was a boys' dorm and a girls' dorm, and the boys couldn't go near the girls' dorm after 11 o'clock at night. And the front door of the dorm was locked at midnight.
Well, all the dorms are locked now because of killers.
Well, this was so that... the girls were supposed to get in. And we were on the first floor, and all the screens on the windows, they were slide-over windows, were welded shut except the one on our room.
Oh, that sounds like a fire trap.
Which we discovered, and we told people so that
you were in, you 2 in the morning. Into a hallway.
It was like the Underground Railroad.
Oh my God.
We get people knocking on our window, and we'd get up, open the window, pop out the screen, get the desk chair, put the desk chair outside so they could climb in the window.
You're a team builder. That's good. People must have liked you then. And that's why you could start your sorority, because you had all these people who owed you.
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like the second year, maybe it was the second or third year, all of a sudden, open dorms. They still had all the girls on one side and the boys on the other, but it wasn't like this closed off rule. But I think what caused that was the night that we all sat in the common ground in the middle and watched the draft, the lottery.
For Vietnam.
For Vietnam.
And so,
and people literally, boys who got numbers below 150, got up and left, got their stuff, and went home.
They're not going to spend the last whatever days they had at
in
college.
In Utica, New York.
Before they go to Vietnam.
Right.
That's what, I mean.
Yeah. And like, oof. I knew people that were killed. My resident advisor's fiance was killed. I mean, it was just like being hit in the head. And I marched on Washington and was in the back of the crowd somewhere, you know, like this huge, you couldn't
see. Did you stay amongst?
We stayed at a monastery.
A monastery. Yeah. And were women allowed to stay in a monastery?
Well, the monastery business was pretty low then. They were having trouble getting recruits.
Shocker.
And so they had a whole dorm that wasn't used anymore. So they put us, like 6 girls, we all came together in a bus in that
everyone moved
building,
around the country
and then
buses
the guys
in the
were
70s.
In the other building. But we had to go to the other building to eat. And it was like a maze. And apparently we walked somewhere that we shouldn't have walked. And then there was all this thing about they had to get it
reconsummated.
Whatever.
They
had to get somebody important in to bless it again because women had walked through this
hall. With your periods and the law books.
I don't know.
So you're, once again, I'm just making this pitch. So after you all sat there and watched people like get drafted to Vietnam, you all went to go protest and like a very well-known protest, and you stayed at a monastery, and the 6 women you and the 6 women literally like messed up an area of like, this is such a good comedy pitch. You got some good drama in there too with the times.
When we're at the protest, we walked to it, you know, like, or we got a ride, and then we walked for a long way and got to where we were. When people had to go to the bathroom, like, they weren't really prepared.
Is this before porta pots were invented?
Well, we never saw one.
And, maybe.
And so if they were inside, people would pick them up, and you'd push them to the
outside of the crowd
of
surf.
The crowd so they could find a bush out there somewhere.
And they had big bushes themselves, so it was bush on bush action.
It was like, okay, this is it. Yeah.
Yeah, and all that grabbing when you have to pee, that's a nightmare.
I can't think of the name of the movie.
Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see
that. That was very realistic.
Like,
that whole, the view all the way down with the water in the middle.
Reflecting pool.
Yep. Yeah, that was exactly what it was like.
Mm. Okay, and then, I have a question about the
crowd surfing to pee. Come on, dude, this is writing itself. That's such a good
crowd surfing. Will you tell about the stories about the pranks you and Dad pulled when you were at college? Something about trash bags and green paint?
Oh, well, yeah, we in the middle of the winter, you get bored, and I was stage manager of the theatrical production.
You were?
Yeah. And I think your father was in it. I'm not sure. But anyway,
also... Really quick, I'm going to tell the story how you met, because I'm going to tell it. Because
y'all met in college?
We met in college
in the dorm.
Was singing Camelot in the common room, and you walked in and you're like, if that man's not gay, he's mine.
Because he knew the words, because he had been in that production. Yeah. And he was a good singer. Yeah, so so he had access to garbage bags, big ones.
Because he worked in the kitchen.
He worked in the kitchen. He was the head dumper.
What?
In the kitchen.
What's that mean?
Okay, so if you're work study and you work in the kitchen doing dishes, you want to be on the line with somebody that knows what they're doing, which was Carl, my husband, because they start, there's a dishwasher at one end of this long thing, and at the other end, there's a garbage can. Mm-hmm. And you have like four people lined up, and it's the dumper that has to be fast because he hands the dish to the next person who puts it in the machine and pushes the machine through, and then it literally goes maybe just like as long as this table, and it comes out the other end clean.
At the dishwasher.
Very hot. Mm-hmm. And then there's a person that takes them out and puts them in the little rolling
things.
Yeah,
with no more fingerprints anymore because they've been burned off by the hot dishes.
Right. So you got paid for 2 hours work. And if Carl was the dumper, you were out of there in an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh. Yeah. He's fast with his hands.
Yeah.
Shout out Dad.
Don't drop the dishes in there. So that was... I met him because he was singing, but then I started to like him because I worked on the line with the dumpers. Yeah, yeah. And then so he got the garbage bags, and I had the powdered paint is what they used on the set.
Oh, on scenery.
Yeah, on scenery. I got a box of green, and we went down into the pub area where he was working, and we mixed it up in the garbage bags, and then we walked from the union back to the dorm, mm-hmm. painting the snow drifts all the way.
Did you pop holes in the bottom of the bag so it would like
slowly come out all over the snow drifts?
Was it like a large sprinkle? So you made like instead of a yellow brick road, it was a green brick road, or was it just a drizzle?
It was on both sides of the sidewalk, and it was
in
like
the snow.
Green snakes going for a long way.
Okay.
A long way, hundreds of yards.
Yeah.
Before you ran out of
paint
and the bags, yeah.
Good clean fun.
Yep, good fucking fun. Yep.
What about the one with the straws and the water fountain?
That was just me and the girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
We had a girl we didn't particularly like.
Uh-oh, my mom's a bully. You're hearing it first here. Was she mean? She wouldn't let people jump in and out of her window?
She took her job as being the head of the floor a little too serious.
Was she wearing a Peter Pan collar?
Yes. Ooh. Yes, she was one of the people in there, yeah. So we got a whole bunch of straws, and we stuck them all together, and we put them in the water fountain that was in the middle of it was an H-shaped floor, and we wedged on the water, and the water ran through the straws, and we stuck a straw under her door, and her desk was on the opposite side of the room, so she didn't notice the water until the water had seeped all the way across
the
terrazzo floor her feet.
I've done the same thing with a shower that was poorly designed in Italy. It went all the way into the hall.
And we had plenty of time to totally disappear into our rooms before we heard the screaming.
Did she scream?
Oh, yeah.
Did she ever find out it was you?
No, never found out it was us.
Well, now she will. Is she still alive?
I have no idea.
Okay. Do you remember her name?
No.
I don't remember anyone's name. No, okay, no. That's fine.
And then there was something that my friend did,
uh-oh,
which was quite funny. She on the third floor, the rooms had cathedral ceilings.
Oh,
pretty
fancy.
Tall,
Utica.
You know. Yeah.
Higher. When you said Utica College, I was imagining cinder block walls, prison.
They were brick. It was brick buildings. Yeah. And it was
no cinder block interior, or did you have drywall?
Drywall.
Oh, fancy.
It was part of Syracuse University.
Oh, okay.
So she had a, I don't know, joking fight, not really a fight. She took Tampax.
Yes.
Got them wet.
Yes, I'm on board. I've done this.
Flipped them up into the cathedral ceiling.
You twirl and you flick and they stick.
Yep.
It's like how you can tell a spaghetti's done.
And it was so tall that they wanted to get them down, but they couldn't get them down because they couldn't find something to reach them. And then, of course, on parents' weekend, when her parents are in the room, several of them decided to flop to the floor.
Yeah, they dried out. They dried out enough.
Tampons falling from the cathedral ceiling at parents' weekend. Yeah. Come on here.
So that was entertaining.
That's a good time.
Yeah. If you tell me you had like a constant battle with the dean, we're canceling the next guest and we're just sitting down and we're starting to write this script.
Well, can you tell? Okay, so another thing I think is interesting about your life is you guys used to go to some sort of car race and then have a
Watkins
turkey
Glen.
A turkey dinner there. Yeah. Can you explain what's going on with this thing?
Well, Watkins Glen kind of still race? is a Can-Am. They have several races at Watkins
Glen.
This
is Glen. The '70s. I've seen pictures. My father still has hair and a beard, a big red beard.
Yeah. Well, they still have Watkins Glen. It's still a racetrack.
But you're not going there and staying in camper vans and having a full dinner.
Well, we had like maybe 30 people that would all camp in a big square, and we'd put a volleyball net up in the middle, and we had a cook tent, and we had a destroylet.
A destroylet?
Which is a propane toilet.
Mm. Wait, what? Do you let your duties on fire?
After, you don't, not while.
Was this a real product you could buy, or did Dad
invent
it? Yeah,
you can still get them. That's what they have in those tiny houses.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You just burn your turds up?
Yeah, they have chemical ones now, but it used to, you could also have ones that was propane. Mm. Chemical toilet.
I've heard of chemical toilets, yeah.
So we had that. We had like a separate little tent for that. And we had a cook tent, and we cooked full breakfast every day, bacon and eggs and toast. And we had a generator, and then we'd have volleyball for a long time. We had beer on tap.
Mm.
And the only complaint was that there was just a lot of car noises.
You got there actually
because, like, literally a quarter of a mile away, they were racing cars.
So you guys just like camping and partying.
Yeah.
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 And there was, my uncle had a VW van.
Pop-up van. Yeah. Thing, yeah, with a bed and everything in it.
Did you play field hockey at college?
I did. And lacrosse.
Okay.
No, not at college. In high school.
In high school. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you have any more college stories so we can write our screenplay before I ask you what kind of nerd you are?
Yeah.
Any more good college stories?
I don't think so.
Did you scare a horse to death in the animal house?
No.
I was going to ask who got pregnant, but that's different. Oh my gosh. I do remember Dad saying, like, you guys would on Saturday mornings watch some sort of kids show while you were hungover.
Yes. One banana, two banana, three banana, four.
Yeah, the banana splits.
Yeah.
Do you
that's
know what that is?
That one.
Yeah.
Four bananas make a split. Yep.
I used to have bad insomnia as a kid, so I watched a lot of Nick at Night.
Yeah.
Well, so it must have been recreated from the '70s.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So Nick at Night, they just played old reruns of older, like, you know, shows from, you know.
Yeah.
Not always shows that used to be made for kids, but just old shows. Yeah. So I watched a lot of Banana Splits, The Monkees, Three's Company.
I think we should say here, though, that my father slept in a toga for a spell. That's what Nana told me. And then he would sleep on the sofa in a toga when y'all came to visit.
No.
Okay. Nana's not here to defend herself. She's on the other side.
You know, she has had issues. Yeah, talk about my nerdiness.
Okay, we're going to talk about your nerdiness. I do, but real quick, tell the story about your the toga parties and the time you turned our basement into a beach in upstate New York in February.
Well, yeah, after...
Was that the 80s?
We were...
So you guys were partiers in the 70s, and you're still partying in the 80s.
Well, the 70s was lot of law school and moving and having a baby. And then early 80s, we tried to recreate some of our college fun by having...
I can relate.
...a toga party.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had learned a lot about punches.
Destroyer punch.
Destroyer punch, which is one part vodka, one part gin, one part pink lemonade.
Jesus.
It makes you thirsty.
Yeah.
Which is because of pink lemonade. And it looks very harmless.
And is it the same color when you throw it up later?
Probably,
A pink color.
So that was one of the ones. And then the other one we used was called Gas, which is Boone's Farm apple wine.
What?
And vodka.
Those are
50-50, and it sort of
it smoke
radiates like gasoline does.
Boone's Farm is rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you really wanted to have fun, you put dry ice in it. throw some dry ice.
Did you wrap it in gauze so dry ice didn't burn anyone's stomach? Or nope. It was the 70s and no one cared.
They didn't know.
I'm like, yeah. Now they're in their their 70s. I'm like, why do I have an ulcer?
No. So and then we had a pool. We had a beach party in February. It was probably 20 below zero in upstate New York. And I had this great idea because we had a cement floor downstairs. We hadn't put the rug in yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the lower level of the
house.
That's
where I lived.
It had, our house was on a slant, so it wasn't like a basement. It was
more
like
a hill.
Like
the whole house was not slanted.
True.
It was built into a hill.
Right. So I had this great idea that if I just bought bag sand, I could just fill up the whole downstairs like a beach. And in my mind, I'm thinking, and when I'm done, I'll just bring the wheelbarrow in and shovel the sand in and roll it out. So we did that. We put all the sand in. We had a mural painted on the wall with palm trees. We turned the heat up to about 80 in the house. People came. Yeah, heat lamps.
You had a big bar down there?
A big bar. People came in like fur coats. And underneath, they had bathing suits on. And it was a great party. Mm-hmm. And then the next couple of days, I realized that the wheelbarrow did not fit through the door to the house. So I had to use 5-gallon buckets and shovel the sand up for weeks. And I think years later, we still had sand.
Sand is invasive.
On the stairs.
Yeah,
it's like glitter.
Yeah, going upstairs. But
that's so funny.
Have you ever seen anyone doing cocaine in person?
No.
Neither have I. I hear once you see somebody, you see it everywhere.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not looking for it.
Right? Yeah. It's like ghosts.
Yeah.
Okay. Mama. Mère Ma.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you several questions to determine what kind of nerd you are. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, these are so not for you. Now that I'm looking at this. Okay.
Well, let me talk about my plant nerdness.
Oh, we're almost out of time.
Okay, talk about my plant nerdness.
Okay, this I'm flashing back to my childhood when we were riding our horses and you're like, Amy, what kind of tree is this?
Because it's
answer
rude
wisely.
Not to know. We live with these things. It's rude not to know their names.
That's so cute. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, plants are actually have to be more adaptable than animals because they can't move their feet. They can't get out of the sun. They can't get into the shade. They can't do what they want to except for the walking palm, which does move and walk. But that's one plant out of a lot of plants. And it's interesting what people, humans, have done with plants. They talk about native plants, and they talk about historic gardens. And it kills me because the history of garden is rich people hiring people to travel to the Orient and find a plant, right? They're going to find a plant and bring
it back.
And then it's going to be that plant that everybody has to have. And that's the history of gardening.
That's like a pineapple. People used to rent them for their parties.
Yeah. And then there's also the rich who do gardens like Winitor and Longwood. And nobody had the guts to say to Mr. DuPont, hey, Henry, don't put the dark purple one next to the orange one. No, the azaleas that he brought over from Korea. It's like, okay, yeah, it's lovely. Oh, wow, it's wonderful.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, they were all on drugs back then.
I don't know.
Snuff and all that.
Well, but every plant is a weed somewhere.
Yes. That's the part where like, oh, it's a weed. Like, and every plant
is a weed somewhere. I mean,
How do you feel about grass? I mean, I'm very angry at grass. It's so expensive, and you're not supposed to really have it. But if you take it all out, you look like a hippie.
Well, it depends what you put in.
It has to be like just crazy stuff growing everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
I love hippies. Shout out hippies. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that like it looks like you're unwell, and no one at home is taking care of anything.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough about plants. Fascinating. Sorry.
She just wants to keep talking about plants. Like
she's finally got a forum here.
Well, I just think people should know the name of trees. People should encourage their children to learn.
We're still learning the names of pronouns. And we're working on people still.
Yeah. But they're going to be here long after people,
What's your favorite tree?
That's a great question.
Well, there's so many different kinds of oaks. I love all oaks. Like there's like 50 different kinds of maples too. I mean, mm-hmm. it's you have to admire a tree because you see what the power company does to them along the road, and you think, oh, you think you have a bad hair day? Look what they did to that tree, and it still goes, okay, I can't grow this way. I'm going to go this way. All right, here I go. I'm still alive. I'm going to keep trying. They have much more grit than people do.
Yes.
It's like there's no choice. You're going to survive.
I heard that from a psychic medium. They were talking. There was she channeled a hippie guy who said that's how plants feel. Like they just need to grow in a different direction.
Her face. Whenever you said I heard that from a psychic medium, she was just like, I love my daughter. Just think that I love my daughter.
We went to a psychic medium together and we talked to your dead father.
No,
remember?
We didn't talk to him. She agreed with me about his signs.
Okay. let me back it up. The lawyer was right.
You were getting signs and I was getting signs. It was different.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I didn't know they were signs. I thought I just had a kink in my neck. Okay. We're going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Okay. Have you ever tried to ride a unicycle?
Yes.
Oh, that's okay. I might have. Okay, yes, unicycle. How did that go? Was that in the 70s?
Went very badly.
Was it in Washington, D.C., in the monastery?
No, it was in Massachusetts when I was a kid. That was bad.
Did you hit your...
Don't try to ride a unicycle on a gravel driveway.
No.
Yeah, that was... But I didn't have any supervision, so...
Was there a neighbor boy that brought it over and
no,
that wanted you to get...
I think my father brought it or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Have you ever played a woodwind instrument?
I've tried, but I haven't succeeded.
What was it?
A clarinet. Is that like, a woodwind?
Yeah. Was that back in middle school or something when they make you do those?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a soldering iron? Have you ever soldered?
No, I don't own a soldering iron, but I have tried to solder, yes.
I can see that about you. I was almost going
to... It's almost like a glue gun.
Yeah, it's a fancy glue gun.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a cape?
Yes.
Yes, and I bought you another one. Because she has two frozen shoulders and she can't put on a jacket. So I bought her a cape that's waterproof.
It has a George Morris plant thing on it.
Yes, William Morris.
William Morris design.
Have you ever held a ferret?
Yes.
Oh, whose ferret? Or is it personal?
I don't remember whose it was, but they had one. And
I wanted
to feel what it felt like.
Yeah, girl, get in there. Was it dad with his quick hands?
It's soft hands, and it seems like it was undernourished. I don't know.
They feel thin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a coin collection?
Yeah, pennies.
Oh, my God. Okay. This is how you find out your family's crazy. You have them on your podcast.
Oh, and I have silver dollars, too.
You have silver.
Why do you think you found your husband attractive?
I know, right?
Because he made me laugh all the time.
Oh, no. He's asking about me because I married Kenton.
Oh, yeah.
But it's you.
Yeah, I see.
As a man.
Oh.
Do you have a sword? Have you ever held a sword?
Well, of course. Your father has a sword.
And my father has a sword from his military school.
Yeah. Because
someone got caught smoking and had to go away to military school.
Well, no. He actually... They didn't believe him. He told the truth.
What was
about where he had been. They thought he was with somebody that he shouldn't have been with. And he told them the truth that he wasn't with that guy.
Oh.
And they didn't believe him and sent him away to military school.
Who was the guy?
One of his friends. I don't
know. Oh. The plot thickens. Do you know Morse code?
No.
Have you ever had an aquarium or a terrarium?
An aquarium.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
When you're young?
Yeah.
Well, this is a fun game. Have you ever been to camp?
Oh, yeah.
What camps did you go to?
I went to camps in Maine.
No, like was it band camp, Bible camp, riding camp, space camp, math camp?
It was get this kid away from us
camp. Good old-fashioned parenting.
My mother wanted to sleep through the summer, so it was
send the kid to camp. Someone keeps eating our food. Who could it be?
It was YWCA camp one time, and then it was a camp that had horses, so I was
happy
about that.
That's when you got... You're nerdy for horses.
I am nerdy for
horses. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
Real quick. So you went to camp. You rode horses for the first time. You fell in love.
Oh, and I rode horses when I lived in New Jersey for a short period of time, too.
Okay. Well, and then you didn't... So when did you buy your first horse?
When I was in law school.
Heyo. And then when did you have me?
19, while I was out of law school for what, a year
so
and a half?
So the horse was more important.
I wasn't going to have a baby while I was in law school. Let's say that.
Did you ride a horse while you were pregnant with me?
Yes.
And did you fall off? And
no.
Is that why I can't spell?
You can't spell because I can't spell.
Maybe
we're genetically unspellable.
Were you riding horses before you had to wear a helmet, and then you got fell off, and then you couldn't spell after that, and the genetics somehow got shook.
The whole helmet thing that is only important if you wore a helmet after what was the year that Drew Malavis made the helmets safe? Probably 1980.
Oh my God.
People wore helmets before,
but they were decorative.
But they would just break your nose.
Oh,
they were useless.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you'd still have a bucket.
But it was
with brain bucket.
Fashionable. Because then people would say you were an equestrian because you had a helmet on.
You know what? I think we should just all wear helmets all the time and look professional. Do you like Disney, Mom? That's kind of after your time. Do you like Disney? Did your dad and mom take you to Disney World?
No, I don't even think. I think the only one was in California when I was a little kid.
Yeah. Did your parents take you on any vacations? Or was it the Depression? I'm just kidding. I know you're not that
I went
old.
To camp.
I went to camp.
And then I got shipped to my grandparents in Vermont, which was nice.
Is that why you never sent me to camp? It's because you were shipped off to camp?
No, because you were too busy in the summer. You didn't want to give up the theater thing, and I didn't want you to give up the horse thing. And,
yeah, we had a lot of pony club in
we're
the
busy.
Summertime.
Yeah.
Have you ever framed a puzzle?
No.
Okay, this is a
I've
whole
done
thing.
Puzzles.
No, because you have a you now have a puzzle culture. And you and your friends get together in your pajamas and do puzzles.
Sometimes in our pajamas, but a lot
well, that's
of times.
What I've noticed. And so there's the phase where you get into birds, you start getting upset when people don't know what the names of trees are.
That was always.
And then you start going to your friend's house, already in your pajamas. Did you brush your teeth before you go, or was it in the
she
morning?
She came to my house.
In her pajamas for puzzle time.
Yeah.
Okay. As you know what?
Your father made bacon.
That's a good reason. Yes. And you don't know how to cook. So if someone makes bacon, you got to go to the house. When the microwave broke, she lost 10 pounds.
No, but before that, people, if I lost my scissors, I would starve to death because everything was those bag things that you dropped into the hot water.
Yeah. I remember we had...
Before microwaves.
We had the oven dinners where you had to put the tin foil in the oven. It took an hour. This is the longest hour of my entire life was waiting for my dinner to come out of the oven. This was before Dad had time to cook.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And then one time my mom tried to boil eggs, and then she went for a ride on her horsey, and I heard popping in the upstairs. So I came out of my dungeon bedroom up to the main level, and I was so little, I couldn't even see into the pot. Mm. And I picked up the pot and I put it onto a stool. And because the eggs were pouncing and cracking because there was no water left in the eggs. And I burned the top of that stool. It was a vinyl stool because it was the 70s. And I remember we had that stool forever afterwards. I remembered that day.
Yep.
So it stopped the house from burning down.
You did. Good job.
Yay.
But you also brought your pony into the
downstairs. Pony fit in the house. It's not my fault. And this is what happens when you have
so you could go to the bathroom.
I had to tinkle real bad. And it was on the main level. So I knew it was a cement floor and the pony wasn't going to collapse through the wood.
No.
And she just sat in there. She was chill. That was a good pony when she wasn't trying to kill me. Did you ever dress in a costume when you were like not for Halloween? Were you a goth kid?
Yeah. I went to toga parties and...
Not for a party. Like, you're going to go to your class dressed as a wacko. Because your daughter did that in middle school. And you let her. It's amazing.
You
I'm
were
alive
wearing
here.
Clothes. You didn't wear clothes for 5 years.
They are scratchy. I have a tag on right here. I've got a tag right here. And it's all I can think about.
She'd do cartwheels across the living room naked during parties.
That's facts.
It's a floor show.
You've talked about your family's naked time.
Yeah, you guys are naked a lot. It was the 70s. Okay. Have you ever made your own clothes? Ha ha ha.
No.
Have you ever written fan fiction?
No.
Have you ever had a birthday party for a pet?
Hmm. Yes.
Who?
I think we had a birthday party for Gally, maybe. Aww. Because there was other dogs that were in the same litter, and we all got together
That's
and brought
fun.
Our dogs from the same litter to have a party.
That's back when you were partying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any reason.
Have you ever made a costume for a pet?
No.
Yeah, you don't do like the classic kind of.
Well,
I think,
unless
like,
it was for your pony when we you did.
Oh, yeah, for costume classes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one time you dressed me as Lady Godiva.
Mm-hmm.
How old was I? Because it is pornography, child pornography.
4 or 5 years
I have
old.
A picture of it. It's a snapshot. And I'm wearing pantyhose.
Up above there.
To my nipple line and nothing else. Just.
No, you had a big blonde wig.
A big blonde wig. I'm sorry. A big blonde wig.
That covered up most of your body.
And pantyhose.
And pantyhose.
So nips out, 5-year-old girl.
Sitting on a bear rug on top of a horse.
On top of a horse.
Pony.
Yes.
Pony.
So the horse was technically wearing more than I was. And that's a great picture. I love it. But I can't put that on the internet because I'm going to get tagged. All right. Yeah. Are you into birds and binoculars and all that for what? Looking at birds?
Not really binoculars.
These are lies because I had dinner with her and she's talking about birds the whole time. Do you love Jeopardy?
I like birds. Oh, I love Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I watch it every night.
You watch it every night?
Yeah.
Where is it on anymore? How do you see it? Is it on regular television?
It's regular television. Yeah, it's at 7 o'clock.
What's his face took over?
Yeah.
Ken Jennings?
Ken Jennings, yeah. The guy that won all the money. Yeah.
Good for him.
And he scabbed.
Okay, this is a...
He what?
He scabbed. He broke the... He still...
The acting...
No, well, it was the writer's strike.
Writer's
strike. Because they have writers on the show, and he still continued to host the show.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But they didn't... They used old questions, I believe. They didn't try to do themselves, yeah.
This is the part where I feel like I might be asking something I
don't want the answer to.
I should know, but you might surprise me. Do you have a tattoo?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. But you never know, because you have stories sometimes that come out, and I'm like, what? You have some fun stories about like seeing Janis Joplin.
I saw Janis Joplin live and with 600 other people in Clinton, New York. I saw Simon and Garfunkel. I saw Jimi Hendrix. Saw Chicago, which turned into when it was Chicago Transit Authority. Saw some good concerts.
Yeah. Do you, and then you did some. You enjoyed the 70s with the drugs and whatnot. Do you get excited buying school supplies?
No.
Pick Star Wars or Star Trek.
I guess I'm more familiar with Star Trek. So.
Yeah, because that's what Dad has on the television all the time.
Yeah.
Trying to see.
I don't like loud movies.
Yeah, everything in Star Trek is pretty chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm giggling hard.
My favorite movies are Cookie's Fortune.
Uh-huh.
With Glenn Close. And Waking Ned Devine.
Okay.
Which is hard to
Irish.
Find. Yeah.
Yeah. You also like Harvey, the black and white movie about an imaginary bunny.
A puka. That was my nickname.
It was? Mm-hmm. From who?
In our group.
Oh, because Dad signs the Christmas presents to you.
Irish.
Irish?
That's our secret. That's our between us. He's Duke, I'm Irish, yeah.
They have sexy names for each other. And I had to read it every Christmas. So it was always a bittersweet Christmas because that's the only time I saw it.
Your father wasn't very good with Christmas presents, so.
One time you put his
present. I put him in the compactor
and
pushed
compactor.
The button. Yep.
And said, next year, just ask me what I want. And then what did you ask for next year? Do you remember?
Well, actually, no, it was that he figured it out. Because that year, he gave me, like, makeup and perfume.
Ugh.
I was like, really? You don't know me at all?
Was asking for something.
Next year, I got a manure spreader.
Ooh, spread that manure.
Yeah, and a horse blanket. Perfect.
Then one year, you got an emerald and diamond ring.
Yeah, yeah.
One time I had a birthday party and my mom's like, I have a great idea what these young girls would like to do. They would like to go for a ride in the manure spreader. You remember?
Well, it's like a hay wagon.
It's like a hay wagon, but for shit.
Oh, well, there was no shit in it at the time.
You put a layer of hay on a layer of straw on the top, but I think it was, I mean, it smelled. And there was a hole in the manure spreader near the front. Do you remember the hole?
Well,
you could see the ground.
Eventually, the manure spreader unloaded itself and we had to get rid of it. Yeah.
Did it fall apart all the way?
It shot itself out the back. Yeah.
Its own bed.
Its floor bed.
It's a floor bed out the back. Nothing says love like a manure spreader. Welcome to the country. Yep. Have you ever had a card collection? Baseball cards? You're kind of...
No.
Okay. Have you ever held a tropical bird?
Yeah. Carmer.
Oh my gosh, my grandfather had a tropical bird.
It was our bird first.
It was your bird first?
Yeah, we named it.
And then you gave it to them?
Yeah.
What happened?
We changed departments in college. Yeah.
How long did he have that bird?
It went home with Carl for the summer, and then Carl's father didn't want to let go of it. So
because they bonded. Yeah. Like this bird would fly around the house, mm-hmm. and I'm told, I don't know.
Yeah, it was loose.
And sit on my grandfather's shoulder and clean his teeth, mm-hmm. and then it would attack my grandmother.
Yep, every time. She had to wear oven mitts
when she was
in the house.
Cooking.
Yeah.
Because it would attack her. Mm-hmm. And then he would take it outside and would fly around and then come back onto his shoulder.
Yeah.
And then he would take it into the shower and he said he was going into
the rainforest
with his tropical bird on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. I am from weird people.
How are you just not putting this together?
I'm piecing it together. I might have to lay down after this episode. Oh my God. Have you ever had a perfect attendance award?
I don't think I went to anything that had perfect attendance.
Awards. Okay. Yeah. That wasn't a thing back then. Do you have a celebrity crush? It's so girly. It's something I would not see you doing at all. Okay, Mom. Because I also know your backstory, I know that you spent a long time with horses. You volunteer a lot. Gardening. Trail clearing, driving tractors,
estate sales,
memorizing everything that's worth the value of. Mm-hmm. You did also like breeding Labradors and then showing Labradors, and the one with the gun and the water, and the dog has to jump out and get the
gun dog training.
Gun dog training. You're like a weird combo. Okay, who's the guy who discovered evolution?
Do you mean
in the 1800s?
Darwin.
Darwin. Yeah. So you're like, this is what I think you are. I think you're a reincarnated British guy from the 1800s. You're like trees, breeding animals. We need to respect nature. I'm not going to wear makeup. You're like a nature. You like history.
The makeup thing is all similar to the tattoo thing, sort of like you get what I am instead of changing it.
I will draw my eyebrows on for every episode of Nerdy Four.
Yeah. I don't know how I raised such a girly girl.
I'm like such a girly
girl. I didn't let you wear anything but pants and overalls.
Oh my God, you dressed me
years
as a little boy. And a woman in the grocery store said to me, "Excuse me, little boy." And I'm like, "It's my mom's fault."
Well, also, we had the hair issue, too.
You cut my hair so short. And I remember one Christmas, you gave me a red sweater. And I started crying because I knew that the vendor you bought it from was for boys. It was a boy's sweater.
Oh, I didn't know that. No.
Oh, I went downstairs to cry like a lady. Yeah. to my hovel. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think you're a reincarnated science guy from the 1800s. Because you have a curiosity about electronics. Well, not like engineering, science, making things work. And you're like, you are like the perfect person to be on a ship with going to the Canary Islands. The Beagle Islands. We're the ones that... that guy.
Galapagos.
The Galapagos. Galapagos. The Galapagos Islands. One time.
How are you married to a scientist?
I'm married to a scientist. Anyway, one time we were on vacation. My boys were little. And I was taking a nap because you were taking them so I could take a nap. And I woke up and you had lined up plastic water bottles. And then you had a roll of duct tape. And you had invented bowling for them in the hotel room in Mexico. You're real handy. You're a can-do girl. You're like a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll make something fun happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was in Girls Friendly for a while. But
what does that mean? Girls Friendly? It sounds sort of inappropriate.
Yeah. It was the Episcopal Church's girls organization type of thing.
You're an Episcopal?
My mother was. Apparently, I'm supposed to be.
Am I Episcopal?
Yes.
You got me baptized when I was old. I remember it.
Yeah.
What's up with that? Did Grammy make you do it?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
But it worked out because you got married in that church.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a beautiful church.
It's a beautiful church. Didn't you get married there too?
Yes.
Oh, that's really lovely. Well, is there anything else you want to add? This is the part where comedians say where people can find them.
Oh.
Do you have a website?
I do have a website. It's the Genesee Valley Hunt History.
Yes.
Website.
You do history talks about.
I do history talks about the Genesee Valley Hunt
mm-hmm.
that I'm the historian for that started in 1876.
1876.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then aren't the coats that the people wear blue because they came back from the Civil War?
Well, no.
That's what you told me.
Not. They're blue because the man who started it was very anti-British because he came to America before in the 1700s. And the Continental Army coats were blue and buff.
Okay.
That's the Revolutionary War.
Oh, so I've been spewing lies.
So instead of red coats like British had.
Yep, in Virginia.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Continental blue and buff as our colors for the hunt.
Yeah. Shout out Genesee Valley Hunt.
Yep.
It's not, I know people get upset about fox hunting. But they don't kill it on purpose. They just let it go. It's not like
it's fox chasing.
Chasing.
It's a dog sport. You have to like dogs. Yeah. They're not dogs, they're hounds.
You're not supposed to call them dogs. It's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you can call the ladies riding the horses dogs. Hey-o! Sorry. Is it the B word just for everybody? Sorry, just kidding. All right. Mommy, I love you so much. Thank you for being on my podcast. And is that good?
Good.
I think we covered a lot.
Yeah.